Freud said about women, couldn't understand them. He said they were the dark continent. And he said, what do women want? It's a famous saying of his. Finally, someone told him, shoes. They said, they say about a philosopher, you know, we've heard this before, he's a blind man in a dark cellar at midnight looking for a black cat that isn't there. And the philosopher retorted to the theologian, he said, yes, but if he'd have been a theologian, he'd have found it. And that's what some do. And there can be a lot of religious error, and we have to be on guard. And it's good to know, maybe first of all, there's a lot in the Bible that's difficult, but it's revealed. And the things that are revealed for our learning. That through patience and through comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. So though something's called a mystery, as we'll see, doesn't mean we're not going to understand it. It's revealed, so we can understand it. And these lectures are good for us because as I begin to study this one, you see things you've never seen because you study a little harder on them or something. Solomon said, as thou knowest not the way of the wind, nor how the bones do grow, with her, in her that is with child. So thou knowest not God who doeth all. And to think about the greatness of God. He knows all the stars by name. We're in a galaxy, they say, with somewhere around 100 billion stars. And there are about 100 billion galaxies, each with around 100 billion stars. We're small, really. And 100 billion trillion stars. And God knows them all by name. Now, we know about electrons. We're writing in our day. I think we could say he could call every electron by name. David said, for thou didst form me in my mother's womb. Thou didst cover me in my mother's womb. And he said, God formed his inward parts. You start thinking about that. Then you go a little further and it says, my frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, and in how I was curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Do a lot of thinking on that. David seemed to grasp that he came from somewhere materially, and that he was made in secret. And God watched that happened and happening in the lowest parts of the earth. It's almost like, you know, the pressure and weight of the earth crushing in on itself makes that hot magma full of about every kind of gas and mineral you could think of. And then it comes up and somehow in the air and floats around and all of this and then enters the food chain somehow. Jesse ate a lamb and met his wife, and then David is born. I don't know. I get to thinking about that like David trying to say, there's where I started, and God watched this atom, that atom, this molecule and electron, and he could just watch all of this over all the earth for how many hundreds of years he wanted to. And before it even happened, look and see David. And by inspiration told David exactly what was going on. But he said, thou didst see me when I was curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. I don't know. Maybe that's not what it means. You correct me. But that's the way I understand what David's trying to say. The majesty of God, the greatness of God is incomprehensible. And I just don't see how we'll ever grasp that this side of heaven or in this form that we're in right now. By the way, on the question answer tomorrow morning, the reason I don't want to read the questions or see them in advance is because I'd get so scared and nervous, really, and upset. I'd want to do a sermon on every one of them. Can you imagine me up all night? Forget it. Might as well just get up and do the best you can. And another reason, it is easy to just take questions and do questions and answers as long as you just know how to say, I don't know. like I just did. I haven't the foggiest idea, as the British might say. There's going to be some cards, I think, out there at the front. Please give Don as many as you want. And I don't mind saying I don't know. Just make them biblical questions. I don't want these. You're like, why did they do the carpet this color? Or, you know, or things that could cause disturbance, something like that. We'll look in the Bible and do the best we can. That's all we can do. HD and I do this once a month, and we both really enjoy it. But anyway, there's God. And he's certainly not a mystery. I had kids at school, of course, they really liked this. At Miller High School, when I was teaching, I just retired a couple of weeks ago. But nevertheless, at Miller High School, where I was teaching there, anything about a preacher or God or the Bible is most welcome. The administration loves that. I don't hear teachers going around, never heard them going around talking about, I wish we had a raise, wish we had a raise. All I hear them tell me is, pray for me. And they do pray for me. But nevertheless, they asked me, how do you know there's a God? This was a preacher's son. And I said, I don't want to influence you first. I want you to argue it, you know, and they'd debate it and all. And I said, here's what did it for me. You know, we have our eyebrows here and they catch the little dust particles. And then we have the little bitty eyelashes. And if anything gets through, they catch those. And then we have our eye kind of sunk in. And if something's going to hit it without even thinking, it's closing and all of that. And then it's got tears and three layers on the tears. The last one is oily, so it slides across and made in such a way that it gets into the corner and falls out, whatever it is in your eye. And I noticed we have two eye sockets. Isn't it strange? We have two eyes to fit in those two sockets. And we have a mouth. We have to eat and we feel hunger. And, you know, all of a sudden we find out that our taste buds are inside the mouth. And the teeth are there too. Did y'all ever notice that? That's the way I noticed. And I don't have, they're not on my elbow. I don't have to go, that tastes good. And then the bottom of my foot, chew it. And then, how come everything has some kind of purpose, design, intent? And we could go on and on and on forever. Just look around, you know. Look around. There's no problem with God. He's not a mystery. He's there. As a matter of fact, Paul said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. That's people just want God out of their mind. Your next door neighbor who lives a quiet life but has no thought of God, they're impious. They're ungodly. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in ungodliness. So it says in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, it keeps on going. It says, for the secret things of him are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Amen. Well, we could go on and on. God formed the eye in Proverbs 20:14, and he that formed the mouth, Exodus 4:11. He that saw fit to give us a mind where we could contemplate and evaluate everything, Proverbs 20 verse 18 and Psalm 119 verse 18 and 19. But this God who made us knew that he made us in such a way that we should seek him, if perhaps we may find him. He made of one, it starts off saying, he made of one every nation of men over all the face of the earth, to dwell on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him. That's the way we're designed. And everything else around us, every war, everything that's going on in the news, is just background music in a dentist office, sifting, where God can weigh our hearts and watch. If it's not this war, it'll be another one. If it's not this earthquake, it'll be another one or a hurricane. And God's watching and weighing and sifting, and people are feeling and some are finding. We rejoice in that. He made us from the very beginning and from our very earliest age with an unabated curiosity. And have you noticed the little children go through what I call a why stage? Why? Well, because so-and-so. Why? Because this is... Why? Well, because the sky is blue because of this. Why? They say that's a pre-philosophic stage that they're going through. And we never lose it. And we contemplate and feel for God. And so God uses metaphorical language. And we say, what does that mean? And he has, in Jesus especially, dark sayings and mysteries. Why? Why? Someone might say, well, oh, that's just figurative language or something. Why? Why would God do that? So we read over it faster and forget it? Or so that we'll say, slow down, whoa, something's there. And we begin to stop and look. As a matter of fact, quite often, behold is used in front of these mysteries that are in the Bible. So what I want to do today, if time permits, I want to look at some definitions of mystery. I want to look at one great mystery and kind of analyze it. And then if time permits, I mean, we could go on and on forever, maybe look at a few of what I would call consequence, mystery consequence, other mysteries that come off this one great mystery. And they're all there in the Bible for us to read, and it's an unending story, an unending study if we want to do that. But we end up doing that. We draw closer to God. We seek after him. We find him. Now, we should not use this God-given curiosity to wear ourselves out on looking, maybe getting all involved in the Yeti or Bigfoot or UFOs or they talk a lot where I am. It's almost all Hispanics, but they'll talk a lot about the chupacabra. And I'll tell you that thing... I heard about that one day. I went home. There's a documentary on it there. I've never been the same since. Or La Chusa, the bird lady, or ghost, or hauntings, or ectoplasm coming out of people's noses, or even the good people, the wee gentry called leprechauns, which I still think the verdict's out on them, whether they exist or not. No, I'm teasing. But use this God-given curiosity for what does the Bible mean there? Why did God say it? Why did he say it that way? And everything else in this world, I truly believe, fades into a meaningless sort of heap of what one person would call orchestrated malarkey. Everything else. I enjoy reading. And I read some of the philosophers and I read some of the of history, and I love it, but it's really just kind of a, it's kind of just background. Like I said, music, it's a organized hooey compared to the Bible and the enjoyment of letting our mind mingle with God's mind. So let's begin today. First of all, the definition. It's used in the New Testament 27 times, mysterion. Wycliffe's Bible Dictionary says it, maybe it's of Jewish origin. Others say it's of Hebrew from Sod or from the Aramaic Raz. In the Septuagint version, it translates certain parts of the Old Testament by the word mysterion. Daniel 2, 18 and 19 and 27 through 30 and verse 47. Here's the best definition when you look at it in the Bible and how it's used. That's where we get definitions. The best one seems to be this. It's a divine truth formerly in the past hidden, but now supernaturally revealed in Scripture. So I think that's a good definition of it. The main thing we need to get, it was hidden, but now it's revealed. And so Unger just says comes from a concept of confidential talk or keeping a secret. McClintock and Strong says its derivation is through mustas, and it means to initiate. Have you ever noticed these people like in the Masons and all? They get all around this, and they have this little secret signs and symbols, and it's almost like, you know, someone rubbing their nose if they're some kind of drifter or something, you know, and all these. And it reminds me of the days when I had a clubhouse, you know, and we had a little secret signs, and we had little secret knocks on the door and all that. But that's not the way it is in the Bible. All agree that there's one great danger, and that's to think of a mystery in the Bible as being unintelligible. Secret knowledge, rather than understand that it's something hard, and that's why God puts it in that form, because it's important. And we should ponder it and not just read through it. So it's revealed and it's explained. Now, what else is going on? Well, we could talk about and analyze it and go around it a little bit. What's going on in a mystery? Paul said this: we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which was foreordained before the worlds, the ages, or the universe, unto our glory. There was something once hidden, and it was going to be for our glory. And then Paul said, which none of the rulers of this world hath known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then he says these words, not talking about heaven, but the scheme of redemption that was once hid in God, but now fully revealed. The one great mystery I see in the Bible. He says, as it is written, things which I saw not, ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among men knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the things of God none knoweth, save the Spirit of God. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might freely know the things that were given us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which the world giveth, but in words which the Spirit giveth, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. And the natural man, or the carnal man, understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, because they're spiritually judged, discerned, learned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So in other words, how do we do it? What is this about a mystery? How do we approach that one great mystery that was once hidden? The ISB, Vine, Nelson, just put it this way. It was once hidden. Now it is revealed. And so that's enough for definitions, I think, explanations. But I want to go a little further and analyze it. And may I say something first? Did you notice when this mystery is revealed, we didn't have to have a sawdust pit right here by the side of the pulpit where I could, and get so excited I fall down there and waller and I don't get hurt too bad. And one guy up in Arkansas, the brethren didn't want me to go watch. I don't know how to put it, like I've said before, in such genteel company except for one or two of you. No, I'm just teasing. When he got up out of that sawdust pit, had he been one of my grandkids, he would have needed his diaper changed. Now, that's not God. And that's not what we're talking about. And that kind of, I'd rather have a word feast than a kind of a spiritual turmoil or something like that. But anyway, let's notice something else going on. Jesus was by the seaside and he taught. And there were some about him with the 12, and they came to him and asked him about the parable of the sower. And here's some of the strangest words to me in the Bible. Jesus says, unto you, it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. But unto the rest, it is not given. But all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they can hear and not understand. Lapsed happily, they should turn again, and it should be forgiven them. Mark 4:10-12. It's a little bit like those in John 6 that Jesus said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you have no part in me. And they said, this is a hard saying, and they just turned around and walked off. And Jesus let them go. What is the difference that unto you it's given? Unto them, unto them, they're sidelined. Unto them, they're going to sit it out. Unto them, they're winnowed out. What's the difference? And the only thing I can see is desire to know. The ones that come and say, what was that about? What does that mean? And to you, it's given to know. Well, what about those that went off to supper or to watch TV or something? Unto them, it's not given. They don't care. And if they walk off in the face of a mystery, forget it. They don't want to know. So, did you ever notice? It's really right saying here, he goes a little out of his way to keep some of them in the dark. There's a certain type of frame of mind that they're not worthy of the things of the kingdom of God. And as God created all of this, it's factored in so that some can be winnowed out and some not. It's part of the process of who goes to heaven and who does not. A little while later, he says it this way, "For to him that hath shall be given, but he that hath not, to him shall be taken away even that which he hath." Mark 4:25. So you see what I mean? It just doesn't sound right at first, but then as we look at it and think, it's God's way. It's part of what God's up to. And everything that's going on in our life, it's what God is up to. Will we be easily distracted? Will it be money, pleasures? Will it be the fear of persecution? I'm talking of the parable of the sower. It seems that some just have little interest. But who doesn't? Well, there's a soil over here where the birds snatch it up. And there's rocks over here and it can't have any deep root. And there's thorns and thistles that just choke it out. But that in the good ground, these are such as in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit. Well, so God uses words. And for those that are drawn to it, Luke 8:15. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of your life. Proverbs 4:23. Take heed what you hear. If you're not hearing, something's wrong. If you're not hearing, there's something wrong inside. That word keep is a military term. It's like walking guard duty in a serious matter. During wartime, you caught sleeping on guard duty, penalty of death. And there have been occasions where someone fell asleep on guard duty and a lot of people got bayoneted in their sleeping bags. And so it's serious business. And this is even more serious. Now, Valentine's Day was recently. I didn't get nothing. Nobody ever cares about me, but I tease, and Barbara does. I always like to tease. But anyway, we try to show our love. Maybe that day's special. And I know men, you know, we're not good at that, but wives probably understand and they appreciate it all the more. And so we try to communicate our word one way or another. But how does God communicate himself unto us? How does God communicate his word to us in such a way that we're conformed unto the divine image? How can this mystery hidden for ages before the foundations of the world explode in our mind and make us live eternally with God? Well, I believe God uses words. Amen. The vehicle of knowledge. The carriage of his will. Because when you put words into a pattern, they make a language, and language expressed communicates how people feel. We know God through his words. Now I know you. We've said that of others. And we hear what God's attitudes are. Now I see him. Now I see him for what he is. Now I know him. And that's our task right now, is to see God, Jesus said. And to see him. And he that has seen Jesus, Jesus said, has seen the Father. How sayest thou? Show us the Father. You know, I was in line. There's nothing Barbara thinks, my kids think I won't do, but I come out grinning and they see me grin. What'd you do in there, you know? But anyway, I didn't do anything bad this time, but I noticed, you know, there's always some of these magazines right there, and I was at the pharmacy and getting something and all that. And I noticed that, you know, someone had a car wreck. and died, but they were talking on the cell phone, and as that all juggled around, they got a glimpse of the afterlife. And they saw the light and all this, and I looked and I looked and I looked and paid and I left. And you know what I saw? It's unreal, but you know, I looked at it and I saw nothing. Except some people walking down the sidewalk. Isn't it funny how people will do all of that? How does God do this for us? Paul talks of a great mystery and he says this, "Now to him that is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to that revelation of the mystery, which hath been kept in silence through times eternal, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the command of the eternal God, is made known unto all the nations unto obedience of faith." There's his mission. Deep words there. Romans 16, 25 and 26. I won't get to the other, but the books, everyone that speaks up here, the book's going to have a lot more in it, so you'd want to get that book. Well, what is he saying there? Well, I think we should make a second serious point. First of all, when God reveals something about a mystery, it's revealed and we can understand it. Second, the great mystery, the greatest of all, is that the gospel is going to save us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is that mystery. And now, how does a mystery function? We just saw it. But sometimes we read fast. We don't notice. We don't have it on our mind to notice that particular thing. I know that it's no such damnable doctrine as a direct operation of the Spirit. Never made a bit of sense when the Baptist preached it, our brethren preached it, and it doesn't make a bit of sense when our brethren preach it today. Now I want to tell you the words I just heard in this great mystery and how it's revealed. I didn't hear anything about or shudder or feeling. Hunch. Someone put that coke. God put that coke there for me. You know, all this kind of I'm led and all that. Here's the words I heard from God. Gospel. I heard the word preaching. I heard the word in that verse I just read, revelation. I heard the word scriptures of the prophets. I heard the word command of God. And finally, I heard what Ben Mosley talked about quite a bit, obedience of faith. Not unto some kind of, you want Kenadon?
Yes.
No, I'm not going to. But I could have the hair stand up if I wanted. Oh, you got to put a holy whine in your voice. Oh, everybody got to have that holy whine. And then, oh, everybody that's happy. This is not on tape, is it? Sound your feet. Oh, everybody's happy. Clap your hand. I didn't hear any of that. Gospel, preaching, and our part, which Calvinism leaves out, the very thing they want to say is done by the Holy Spirit. What is it? Obedience. And it's an obedience that belongs to faith. That's why we say it's an active faith. It's an obedience that belongs to faith, the obedience of faith. And that's how these mysteries are revealed. The grand mystery of all is just like all the others that we could go to. So we've analyzed it a little bit, and we've looked at the words that we've seen that surround it. And now we could go to other attendant mysteries, but we don't have time. We never feel we have time. Don on lectureships all over, he never has time either, do you? He never has time. I wish we had time to talk about the mystery that we would see. Well, I just got so many, I'm just not going to even try, but I guess I will. You say you're not going to, but all the mystery about how God dwells in us, and another one, the mystery of the man of sin. It's revealed. We can read in the Bible. The mystery of godliness. It says, you know, he was manifested in the Spirit and justified in the faith and seen of angels and preached among the nations and received up to glory. 2 Timothy 3:16. I like to talk about one. I wish I had more time. But I would like to just mention that Paul said, behold, this is for our comfort. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the word behind that is atom. Atom, indivisible. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal, subject to death, shall put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then has come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's thy victory? Death, where's thy sting? Sting of death, sin. Power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful system. And Islam might as well give up. There's nothing in the Quran, and I've read it, like this great mystery of godliness. And all I can say now, having mentioned some of the radical Muslims, not all, I was going to ask Don if Jackie could walk Barbara and I to my car. No, I'm teasing. She's not that way. She's not that strong and fearsome and all. It's been great to be with you and be with John. But up, Don.
She's not that strong, but she's...